The immediate result of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in this case was speaking in tongues. Okay? Case number two, Acts chapter 8. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, paralysis, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That's very important to note. They were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. Right? Now, when the apostles, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, look at some of the things that Simon, this is going to be important later, look at some of the things that he saw done. He saw demons being cast out, he saw people being healed and the lame getting up and walking, okay? He saw a lot of miracles. He says he beheld the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was, what does it say there? He had not yet fallen, or was fallen, upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay. Look at verse 18. It's really interesting. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, your money perish with you. And I think it's Philip that translates that, and it's better translated as, to hell with you and your money. Actually what it says, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Okay? But it's interesting, it says in verse 18, and Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. He saw that it was given. Now, he had seen miracles. He'd seen people having demons cast out. He had seen people getting up and walking when they hadn't walked for years. He saw people being healed, delivered, set free, all kinds of things. But he saw something when they were filled with the Holy Spirit that he hadn't seen before. He goes, oh, see? It wasn't just the apostles came and laid hands on a bunch of people and they didn't see, hear, know, da-da-da-da-da. There was something that happened. Something happened. And it says he could see that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? What was that? Okay? Case number two?
number two. Oops, I'll write down. You can put the reference in there. A?
You can write these down. I'm going to write them down on the board. It takes too long. A. The Holy Spirit had already been given on the day of Pentecost, and they had already believed. They had already believed. It's my personal opinion that's comparable to the idea of the Holy Spirit filled the house where they were sitting. That they were already believers, that the Holy Spirit had already been given, because when the Holy Spirit filled the house, it was the Holy Spirit being given, being outpoured. So the Holy Spirit was already given, or they had believed. No, I'm talking about the people that were saved in Samaria. The people of Samaria had already believed.
They knew already.
No, that was a fact that was there because it had already happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, I should clarify that. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given, poured out, which is something that had not happened before. Okay? Quote, poured out. That's a metaphor. Okay? And so I think that the idea of them being already believers was comparable to the Holy Spirit filling the house on the day of Pentecost. And I think that the apostles, this is my personal opinion, you can put that as an opinion, that the apostles already received somewhat of the Holy Spirit because Jesus, before he left, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's John 20. No? Okay. We'll try to save the questions until last. Write them down if you have questions. Thank you. Okay? And then it says, he had not yet fallen upon any of them. Right? So in other words, the Holy Spirit fell on them. First it was he sat on them, he fell on them. And it says they received the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. I think it's the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Bible uses the words received and filled and so forth interchangeably. They were filled or they received the Holy Spirit. It was an action that took place on their part. Receiving is something that you do. See? The Holy Spirit fell on them. That was something the Holy Spirit did. Receiving was something that they did. That's what I think correlates to number C in the case one of them being filled with the Spirit. They received the Spirit. Okay? Because we have to interpret it all on the basis of the Holy Spirit being a person and not some impersonal force or influence or some it. Okay? And lastly, the result, Simon saw something happen. So it's only implied. You can't really say what happened. You can just say that Simon saw something happen. Case number three, Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 to 6. Acts 9, 1 to 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, or to kick against the goad. Is the word that's used, the thing, a sharp-pointed stick that was used to get oxen and donkeys moving. It's hard for you to kick against the goat, isn't it? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Okay, so then he, at that point, believed and submitted to the lordship of Jesus. You know how I know that? Verses 17 and 18. Ananias went his way, verses 17 and 18, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul." Now, God had spoken to Ananias in a vision. And he came to him and he said, "Brother Saul." You think he was going to... First he told God, he said, "Man, do you think I'm going to go over there?" That guy's been, you know, persecuting people and making them blaspheme and all kinds of things, you know, or trying to get them to. "You think I'm going to go talk with Saul of Tarsus? Are you kidding?" He goes his way and he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that you might recover your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Okay? So, Saul was already a believer, that's A. He was baptized, point B. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and received the Holy Spirit, point C. Point D. Result? Recorded? None. No immediate result. I see a result there, because he just went straightway and preached that Jesus was the Christ, which is an action of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. But there was no immediate result that was recorded. Okay? You can see 1 Corinthians 14:18 to see that Paul was very active in the operation of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all." It was a southern Jew. "Speak with tongues more than you all." He didn't get it. Okay. Number four. I'll explain to you later, Mika. Case four. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. Acts 10, 44 to 48. Peter here is preaching to a group of people that are gathered together in Cornelius' house. You can read the whole chapter to get the context later. Peter's preaching to him about Jesus. He gets to the point where he says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." He's preaching concerning salvation. It says, verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." And if you don't think that's the same thing as the baptism in the Spirit, you can check out Peter's speech to the other apostles in 11:16. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So he's saying that what happened to them was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's when he's giving his defense before the other brothers back in Jerusalem and wanted to know why a Jew went into be with a Gentile. 11:16, yeah. Okay? So let's note some things there. A, the Holy Spirit had already been given. This was after the day of Pentecost. And at this particular point, they believed in Christ for the remission of sins, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Now, you see in the case with Paul the Apostle, that it was a separated experience. With the people in Samaria, it was a separated experience. With the apostles in the day of Pentecost, it was a separated experience. But here, it happened at the same time. That they believed and they were filled with the Spirit at the same time. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the words. So, point B, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Verse 47 says, they have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. So then they received the Holy Spirit. Part D, the result, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Case 5. Acts chapter 19. Verses 1 to 7. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, notice he found certain disciples. Now when the Bible specifically mentions disciples of another person other than Jesus, it qualifies it. The disciples of John the Baptist, the disciples of the Pharisees, the disciples of so-and-so. But when it just says disciples, that usually means the disciples of Jesus. Okay? Just he found certain disciples. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? Now, even if the statement before, some people say that this finding certain disciples means the disciples of John the Baptist. Right? And they weren't believers. But Paul didn't talk with them about belief in Christ. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He sort of expected them to receive the Holy Spirit at the same time that they believed, like it happened on the day of Pentecost. You know, just get saved and baptized and fill the Holy Spirit all at the same time. You know, get started in your spiritual life with a bang. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. What a statement. They were so ignorant that they didn't even know what was going on in their life when they believed in Christ. See, and ignorance is possible on the idea of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Very possible to be ignorant. And here Paul found some people that were ignorant about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was ignorant for about 6 months after I came to know the Lord. And somebody told me about it, and I studied for another 6 months to see if it was true. Studied the Bible. And a year after I was converted, I came to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So the only baptism they knew was the baptism that they'd received under John the Baptist ministry. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after, that is, on Christ Jesus. It doesn't say when they heard this they believed in Jesus. It says now when they heard this they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd been baptized for repentance under John the Baptist. They'd believed on Christ, but they hadn't heard about being baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and they hadn't heard about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So then it says when they heard this they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Okay? When Paul laid his hands upon them, that's two times it's mentioned that hands were laid upon people for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All the men were about 12. Okay? A, they were believers. They were believers. B, the Holy Spirit came on them. Another expression of the same thing. An experience with the Holy Spirit. Some kind of thing happening with you. I think people that have this just pray and receive the Holy Spirit by faith type thing and never have any kind of an experience, aren't having a scriptural baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've seen that happen a lot. Holy Spirit came on them. I'm not saying it has to be wild, the experience that you have. Nothing. There should be some kind of an experience there. You're in contact with the God of the universe, and you better have some kind of an experience. Okay? He came on them. See? They received the Holy Spirit. That's not stated at the point where they received it. It's stated before in verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Okay? So what Paul was talking with them about was the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And D, the result, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So in general, the pattern in the different cases, the exception is Paul the Apostle there, which might not be an exception, it just isn't a lot, isn't told us. The pattern seems to be that the person either knew Christ, or as it was in the day of Pentecost, it was the giving of the Holy Spirit. There was the action of the Holy Spirit in the person already. The action of the Holy Spirit in the person already, such as the house was filled, where they were all sitting, or they were believers, that kind of thing. There was the action of the Holy Spirit already in their lives. So in other words, if you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, you've got to know the Lord. If you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I should put it that way, because as soon as you submit your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. But that doesn't particularly mean that you have received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's still whatever that means. I plead ignorance. Okay, so there was something, there was the activity of the Holy Spirit in the person's life already, and then some kind of an experience with the Holy Spirit. He either sat on them, fell on them, came on them, rested on them. Some kind of an unfalling or a coming on of the Holy Spirit. I've been with some people, and the Holy Spirit really came on, man. He really came on strong. Some people, he comes on so strong, they go over on the floor. Seen that? One guy came on him so strong, that the thing that hit him was he was so happy. He started speaking in tongues, and he was so happy. This is the Baptist youth camp, which I got thrown out, but. He flopped over on the floor of Baptist, and he was holding out his head, and he was just roaring with laughter and speaking, and you know, he'd laugh and speak in tongues. And that was sort of funny. The Holy Spirit really came on the guy. And I was with another fellow one time in Crossborough, and when he got filled with the Spirit, man, he just about danced around the room. He was really, really excited. With me, it wasn't a wild thing at all. Wasn't all. It's just I noticed that there was a special awareness of Jesus. The Holy Spirit made Jesus really real to me right at that point, and I knew that there was a presence that I had not felt before. You know, I knew the presence. It wasn't a strange presence, but I hadn't felt it in that way before. And speaking in tongues almost took me by surprise. I was going to ask the Lord something, and something else came out of my mouth, and I just, whoa, hold on. Okay? And then they received the Holy Spirit. In other words, they made action towards what the Holy Spirit was doing in their lives. There was what the Lord did, and then there was what they did. They received the Holy Spirit. And then there was a result. In Acts chapter 2, they spoke in tongues. In the case 2, Simon saw something happen when they were filled with the Spirit. In case 3, there's no recorded result, but Paul the Apostle says that he spoke in tongues. Not particularly when he got filled with the Spirit, but that he at some time did start speaking in tongues. Then result in case 4, they spoke in tongues, and in case 5, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There was some kind of utterance involved. Okay. Last major point here.
Oh. got to be involved in everything that happens between God and man.
What is it?
Conditions.
Got it.
Okay, condition number one. I'll give you scripture for each of these two. Condition number one, you have to have a clean heart. Basically, yeah. Gotta have a clean heart. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Right? Turn away from your sin. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to have a clean heart. You have to repent. Basically, you've got to be a Christian to start out with, and you've got to have a clean heart as a Christian. Clean heart. Remember that the cleansing of your heart is not something that you work up. It's something that you receive from Jesus as a gift. Because we can't cleanse ourselves from our own sin. So you don't struggle and sweat trying to make yourself clean so you can receive the Holy Spirit. You just submit yourself to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that you died for me. And confess your sin. Turn away from it. Okay? You don't have to sweat about that. Just let the Lord clean your heart. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32... Acts 5:32 says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those that obey him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who are obeying him. No, that's under condition one. You have to have a clean heart. You get, clean heart would be obeying him. Obeying him, you have a clean heart. Acts 5:32, he gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. Number two, condition two, you have to ask. God's not going to drop anything on you that you don't want. People say, can't I just sort of wait around and see if God fills me with the Spirit when he wants to? No, it won't work that way. Because God won't coerce your will. He won't make you. He won't jump on top of you and make you be filled with the Spirit. You've got to ask him. You know, with a lot of people, they're just sort of waiting around for God to fill them with the Spirit, you know. So I'll, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. And that's a bad reaction. It's unscriptural. You're supposed to ask if you want, and he's not going to force you to be filled with the Spirit. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay? So asking is a condition. Because we have a free will and he doesn't want to coerce us into having the Holy Spirit. Okay? Or being filled with the Spirit, whatever that is. C, or three, or conditions you got here. There has to be faith or confidence involved that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Confidence or faith. Confidence or faith. That the Lord will keep his promise. He said, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise. Galatians 3:2. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The obvious answer is by the hearing of faith from the context. You don't get anything by the works of the law. Do you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, there has to be faith involved if we're going to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Ask and having faith could be combined into one. You have to ask in faith. Okay? D? Or four? have to receive or accept the Holy Spirit. That requires action on your part. You have to receive or accept the action of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that's going to require action on your part. Now, I'm going to show you just a few scriptures. Not obvious things, but in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues." Okay? They shall speak with new tongues. Who does it say is going to speak with new tongues? They who believe. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's they who believe. The Holy Spirit is giving you the utterance, but you've got to speak it. And you can sit there with your teeth gritted and I won't do it. Yeah. You can do that. You can resist the Holy Spirit because he can be resisted. Okay. You can do that. That seems, there was, Gary shows with you, this is cute. There was a guy, a black fellow that was a Methodist minister a long time ago. That, this was told to me by my theology teacher, my pastoral theology teacher in Bible school. He was 84 years old, just gone on to be with the Lord. And he was 84 years old, and he had a lot of stories to tell, man. He'd been a minister for about 60 years, and he had a lot of things to tell. And he said this guy was praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. A big black fella was praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And this Methodist minister was lying on the floor, and he'd sit up, and he'd throw out his arms, and he'd go, "Hallelujah," and then he'd fall back on the floor again. Yeah. And the guy couldn't, the guy, my teacher, couldn't figure out what was going on with this guy. Yeah. And what was happening was the Holy Spirit was coming upon him, and instead of responding in speaking, like he should have, he'd sit up, and he'd shout "Hallelujah," and then he'd fall back on the floor again. See? So this guy was standing there, Brother Johnson is his name, was standing there puzzling over, what shall I do, Lord? And this guy, he should be filled with the Spirit. It's not that hard of a thing. What should I do? And the Lord said, "Put your knee on his chest." So the next time he saw the guy stir to sit up, he leaned over and he put his knee on his chest, and the guy couldn't move, and he burst out speaking in tongues. What he was trying to do is get out of his response, his end of the responsibility, see? His end of the responsibility was to speak what the Lord gave him, and he wasn't doing it, he was getting out of it. Okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, this is under the same heading. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began," who began? "To speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The people that were there in the room, right? It wasn't the Holy Spirit. God doesn't drop a little radio down inside of your throat. See? There's some action required from us. God's not going to make us say something. We have to respond to what the Holy Spirit does. Right? So there has to be some action from us. We have to give it voice. Okay? Or we can resist the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Paul here is talking about speaking in tongues. And he says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." Right? "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." In other words, when he says, "I will," when you say, "I will sing this song," what do? You choose to sing it, and you go ahead and sing it. Right? So when he says, "I will pray with the Spirit," he's saying, "I'm going to choose to pray in the Spirit." I think it was Robert Frost that was having trouble with this one time because he was very new at this, and people told him, "You can't turn the Holy Spirit off and on like that. You can't just choose to speak in tongues and start speaking in tongues." So he went before the Lord and he said, "Well, Lord, what about this? Is it really turning you on and off like that?" And the Lord said, "No, I'm always turned on. You're the one that's got to get turned on." That was the answer the Lord gave him. He said, you're the one that has to respond. I'm always ready to go. See? So it's just a... What I'm trying to say basically is you can choose to pray in tongues, and that's part of your responsibility. Okay? Now, this should be a very easy... Receiving the Holy Spirit should be a very easy and natural thing. If it's not, there's something wrong. Should be a very easy and natural thing. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 says, it filled all the house where they were sitting. Where they were sitting. They weren't on their knees on the floor, begging and crying. They weren't standing before the Lord with their hands up, you know, asking, begging the Lord to fill them with the Holy Spirit. They were just sitting there. Yeah. Sitting around in the upper room. Then something happened. There was a guy, I want to relate another incident to you. There was a fellow that was a Jewish brother, was a completed Jew, and he had come to the knowledge of the baptism of the Holy Spirit through a word of knowledge. The Bible says the Jews require a sign. And he required a sign, and he... One of the girls from the Bible study group turned around to him one day, she didn't know him at all, turned around to him and said, if you'd give up your astrology, the Lord would fill you with the Holy Spirit. She told me later, she says, I was so scared. She said, I didn't know whether he was involved in astrology or not, but that was what the Lord told me. So he just hung his head and looked at the floor and he said, that's right. He was holding on to his astrology and wouldn't give it up. And so he required a sign there. And he came over later that afternoon. And he was at a place where I was eating dinner. He was invited to dinner, too. So we had dinner, and afterwards we were around in the front room. There's about eight of us or so. And we were around in the front room, and he said, I denounced my astrology. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And it's okay. So we all go down the floor, and this guy's only, 2 days old in the Lord. He's known the Lord for 2 days. We all go down on the floor, and, well, I was sitting on the arm of a couch, right? I was sitting on the arm of this couch, and he was kneeling in front of me. And I had my hands on his head, and a whole bunch of other people laid their hands on him, right? Which we saw, there were two cases in the book of Acts where people laid hands on other people. Everybody had their hands laid on him, and we were praying. Things were getting sort of noisy. And he just stopped. He stopped praying. And he took my hands off of his head, and he took people's hands off of him, and he was pulling hands off. He pulled everybody's hands off, and everybody just sort of stopped because they were so shocked at what he was doing. And he looked up at me and he said, is Jesus the baptizer in the Holy Spirit? And I said, yeah, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And he said, then Jesus can do a good job. And he raised his hands and started singing in tongues. He just raised his hands very naturally, calmly, and just started singing in some other language. Okay? That's how easy and natural it should be. And he said, if Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, Jesus can do a good job. I really learned something. I learned something. Okay? Then, number five. We should continue to be filled with the Spirit. It's not something that happens once and then is to be stopped there. It has to continue. Because if you're in a relationship with a person, remember, the Holy Spirit is a person, you're in a relationship with that person, God. And so you have to continue to fulfill your responsibilities in having a clean heart and inviting Him to fill you and so forth. Okay? Faith has to be expressed. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to submit to what He asks you to do. Okay? That will involve more than just speaking in tongues. It might involve the operation of other spiritual gifts or witnessing. Okay? So when you continue daily to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the words be filled there are in the continuous tense. They mean be constantly being filled with the Spirit. In other words, stay filled all the time, continually. Be being filled with the Spirit. And here he's writing to the people in Ephesus, and some of those were the ones that we read about in Acts 19, where they had been filled with the Spirit back there. And he laid his hands on them and he said, just continue to be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit as a continual thing. Okay? We'll stop there.